Oh, take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Revelation chapter 6 tonight. We've been going through the book of Revelation, and we've been going through particularly the judgments. The judgments. No one likes to talk about judgment, but we, if we're going to go true to the Word of God, and we do, because we're an independent Baptist Bible-believing church, we believe in the fundamentals of the faith. I don't know if you know that, but you, if you are here and a member of the church, you are a fundamentalist. There's a fundamentalist. When I went to Bob Jones University last week, they talked about that back in the 20s, the reason why Bob Jones Sr. started the college, because there were back in the 20s, there was a group of people who wanted basically to change what the foundations of the scripture, the fundamentals of the faith, and became modernists. They started not believing the Bible, not teaching that this is the inspired word of God. And thankfully, there rose up several universities like Bob Jones and others, especially in the last 10, 15 years, that have been, God has raised up to teach that the Bible is the Word of God, that we believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, that we do believe in His death and burial and resurrection, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We do believe that He's coming back, and we believe the Word of God. We believe it literally or naturally. A lot of people believe the Bible, and I say, well, that's a, you know, it contains the Word of God. No, we say the Bible is the Word of God from cover to cover, because the very cover says Holy Bible. We believe it from the very beginning to the very end. We believe this is God's book. And it's not just a suggestion book. It is our authority. It is the authority for how we live in our life. And so, folks, you don't have to wonder, what is the will of God for my life? Here it is. You don't have to throw a piece of trash up in the air and say, wherever it lands, that must be where God wants me to do. You don't have to blow smoke like the Indians, you know, and see which way the wind's blowing. How do you know the word will of God? You follow the Word of God. So that's why we, on Wednesdays and Sunday mornings for Sunday school and for church, We teach and we preach the Word of God, and a lot of places have left that, but we believe it's important. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 6, and we're talking about these different judgments, Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12 tonight. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, verse 12, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into earth, and even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs, when she's shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll, when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great man, the rich man, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in dens and in rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Oh, Father, that day is coming. Oh, what a horrible day. What a terrible day. Where scores of people will die without God and go to a hell that is real. Just as real as heaven is real. Just as real as God is real. Heaven is real. It was created not for man, but for the devil and his angels. Oh, Lord, that judgment is coming. Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with others before it is too late. I pray that everyone in this room and tonight, there's been a time where they recognize their sin, they place their faith in Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, for us as Christians, God, you'd help us to be serious, to be sober-minded about our Christianity, knowing the importance of it. In Jesus' name, amen. We fear the wrath to come. Earthquakes. Anybody been in an earthquake? Anybody been? Oh, some of you been in an earthquake. Oh, good. All right. Do you know, I didn't know this, but I took a tour of Charleston, South Carolina, and there's a huge fault line that runs right up I-95. I didn't know that, but I'm glad he told me about it, and I didn't stay there very long. But we're not very far from I-95, but I didn't realize there was a fault line. But we know there's some fault lines, huge ones especially, out towards California, San Andreas Fault, which a lot of we talk about that. But this earthquake. Anybody know what earthquake this was? Kelly? Mount St. Helen. Yeah, that was a few moons ago. Yeah, it was a volcanic eruption. Yeah, but it wasn't an earthquake. But it was, yeah, what, this is an earthquake, right? But we see, understand the calamity of it. What are earthquakes? This is the first of the earthquakes mentioned here in Revelation that we're actually talking about. And actually, one of the greatest ones that I want to mention is one I didn't even know about called Caractua. Caractua. Dr. Robert Thiem stated that the eruption of Caractua on the island of Dutch East Indies in August the 27th, 1883 was heard around the world. The explosion was heard 300 miles away in Rodriguez, South America. As a result of the earthquake, the sun was blotted out and the volcano ash blots out the sun, makes the moon like red. Tidal waves traveled as far as Cape Horn, 7,000 miles away. A total of 36,000 people were killed. Wow. Can't even imagine. But we've seen the different seals. The first seal we talked about was false peace. That's the Antichrist. If you weren't with us, you can always go back and look at these different ones on YouTube. The first peace was first seal was Antichrist. The first seal was war. The third seal was famine. These all came in different horses. Remember the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The fourth seal is death. The fifth seal was prayer, the vengeance. We looked at that last week, how God's people actually cry out for vengeance, for the death that will happen to them during the tribulation. And of course, the sixth seal is this great earthquake. We see the reason for the fear in verses 12 through 14. This great earthquake can release, up to 100,000 nuclear bombs, the force of 100,000 nuclear bombs. It's interesting to note that since Israel became a nation in May of 1948, the destructive killer quakes have increased in intensity. And from 1950 to 59, there have been 9 killer quakes. From 1960 to 1969, 13 killer quakes. From 1970 to 1979, 56 killer quakes. And from 1980 to 1989, 74 killer quakes. And from 1990 to 1999, over 124 earthquakes. So it's interesting. And wonder, why is that? Could it possibly the Bible be true? It's just happenstance, right? It just happens that way. No, folks, things happen for a purpose and reason. God knows there's a reason. These quakes. These seismos, earthquakes, literally means a shaking. In Matthew chapter 8, 24, describes this great storm on the Sea of Galilee. The Septuagint uses as Joel 2:10, describe the heavens trembling. The sun, it says, the sun will become black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon like blood. Can you imagine looking up in the sky and seeing it so dark? And it's not nighttime. It's not nighttime, but it's actually so dark, it's like the sackcloth of hair, and the moon is like blood. Wow, how frightening is that going to be? We see stuff like this in TV. We see stuff like this in movies, and we hear about it, but we don't think it actually will happen. This is actually going to happen. Now, remember, folks, the church at this time, we believe, is going to be in heaven. This is for every person who was not raptured by Jesus Christ. We believe that's going to happen, of course, before this. This is during the tribulation, the 7 years of tribulation. Dr. Henry Morris, I'm glad he's a very educated person. Yeah, I have several books by him. He's a father of creation scientists. The vast worldwide network of unstable earthquake belts around the world suddenly will begin to slip and fracture on a global basis, and a gigantic earthquake will ensue. This is evidently the naturally and accompanied by tremendous volcanic eruptions, spewing vast quantities of dust and steam and gases in the upper atmosphere. It's probably these that will cause the sun to be darkened and the moon to appear red blood. It's a wonderful book. If you would like to read this book, I have it in my library, but it's very fascinating, by Dr. Henry Morris. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day is bitter. They're the mighty men which shall cry out. The day is like a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation. and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thickness, thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities, against the high towers. Even back in the Old Testament, it was prophesied these days were coming. Joel chapter 2, verse 10, the sun and the moon grow dark and the stars diminish their brightness, for the day of the Lord is great and terrible. Who can endure it? And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, 29, but in those days after the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars of heaven shall fall and the powers are in heaven shall be shaken. Wow. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be horrible. I'm glad I'm not going to be here. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 6, verse 13, the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree cast to her untimely figs, we shaken of a mighty wind. Look at that. Imagine asteroids and stars falling to the earth. Imagine the impact. Imagine this huge earthquake, which everybody knows about, affects the whole earth. And then right after that, these stars come and basically pummel the earth. Wow. But if you've been around and you've watched any type of TV or movies, there's been a lot of movies about asteroids and stars and meteorites fall. I Googled it. Just to be interesting, this word stars can refer to actual stars, but also describe any heavenly body other than the sun and moon. But interesting enough, there's over 15 asteroid movies. Come back to the first one, The Green Slime. I didn't watch The Green Slime. Now I didn't watch that, but I did watch Armageddon, Deep Impact, some of those other ones. Some of you probably watched Ice Age, the collision course. But there'd be so many bodies hitting the earth that John, in a vivid analogy, likens the scene to like a fig tree that casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind, with a whole earth being pummeled by fiery balls plummeting out of the blackness. There will be nowhere for people to flee, nowhere for them to hide. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 6, and the heaven departed as a scroll, as it's rolled together, and every mountain and island removed out of its places. I can't even imagine that. That's past even imagination. The heaven, the sky, there's three heavens. We're talking about this atmosphere. The clouds is the first heaven. Then out in space is the second heaven. And where God dwells is the third heaven. The heavens, what we see up there, we rolled. And John's, again, he's looking at this like a picture, and he's just trying to describe it. The heavens rolled like a scroll. Can you imagine that, seeing the heavens look like that? I can't imagine. Henry Moore says, the dust crust highly unstable after such a great flood. After such a great flood, we'll be so disturbed by the impact of asteroids, the volcanic explosions, the worldwide earthquakes, the great segments of it will actually begin to slip and slide over the Earth's deep plastic mantle. Geophysicists for many years have been fascinated with the idea of continental drift, although strong evidence has been accumulating against any such phenomenon occurring in the present age. Several published theories of a past naturalistic catastrophium involving what they call the earth shifting crust. Some such phenomena may actually be triggered under this judgment of the sixth seal, dwarfing the damage occasioned by the mighty earthquakes of the past. The devastating natural disasters accompanying the sixth seal will be the most terrifying events yet to affect the earth. The cumulative impact will be far more destructive than any current doomsday scenarios about asteroids hitting the earth. And even the more intense trumpet and bold judgments are still to come. The total flattening of all the mountains will come later at the seventh bold judgments, which we'll see soon. So we see the reason of the fear. But secondly, the range of the fear. It says in verse 15, and all the kings of the earth and great men and rich men and chief captains and mighty men and every bondman and every free man. Can you imagine all the calamity that's going on in the world today? All the stuff that's going on away today, especially in America. What's going on in America? There's a whole lot of finger pointing. Whose fault is it? whether it be the pandemic, whether it be Afghanistan, and you think, oh, the mighty man, they're going to be, it's just going to be just like this. I mean, whose fault is it anyway? Your fault. No, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. Why is this happening? Well, nobody can take responsibility. Nobody is taking responsibility. You think people take responsibility? Could it? You think any of them would say, possibly this could be God? No, we're having some type of geological, and they'll try to explain it away. They'll have some type of scientific reason, or they'll say it's aliens, or they'll say it'll sound good on CNN. They'll have all their experts in, all their doctors with all their degrees, and they'll all tell us why things are happening. And it will all be a lie. It will all be a lie because they don't have a clue what's going on. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 2, verse 1, why are the heathen raged and people imagine a vain thing? The kings of earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away the cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. God's going to laugh at their calamity. The Lord shall have them in derision, and shall he so speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore pleasure. Oh, dear friend, people just don't understand. Their arms are not long enough to box with God. It's just so foolish. They just don't know. The reason for the fear, the range of the fear, and the reaction to the fear. The Bible talks about this. The reaction to the unbelieving world, terrors unleashed by the sixth seal, will not be one of repentance. You think at this calamity, you think, well, people will surely, they'll just say, God help us, and they'll start having revivals, and they'll repent of their sin, and they'll start having prayer meetings and begging God, but they won't. You what? They won't. We're going to talk about that even more this coming Sunday morning. That, you know what? The same sun that melts the wax hardens the clay. You would think when judgment come, people would repent of their sin and cry out to God, but many people, especially leaders full of pride, will not admit the problem. Reaction to the unbelieving world, the terrors unleashed, the seal will not be one of repentance, but of panic. They will finally acknowledge what believers have been saying all along, the disasters they have experienced are God's judgment. They'll be sitting in their homes. David Jeremiah wrote this. They'll be sitting in their homes reading the universal news or buying smog masks with their global credit card. When the earth begins to shake, before they can pull out their hands out of the 666 sensors, the sky becomes black and with a ghastly moon covered with blood appears upon the horizon. Against the eerie black drop, the stars shoot the earth like a shower of white hot coals. Mountains crumble into volcanic ash. Islands sink into the sea. The clouds of dust spread across the sky, making it appear if the sky were rolling. Terrified, the earth dwellers race for any shelter they can find and pray to the mountains and rocks. Hide us, they cry. God is angry. Help us escape his wrath. What a meeting. The people will shout out anything, even the mountains, for help. Their first instinct is to hide and get away from God. Isn't that what sin does to us? Remember Adam and Eve? What the first thing they do? Hide. Remember your kids when they did something bad, parents? They're hiding. Where they at? Oh, they're hiding somewhere. Somebody broke the glass. It wasn't me. Oh. He turns his back on God's provision for sin and seeks help somewhere else. As John describes the scene, I can imagine some men walking through the rubble left from the earthquake and crying out to his countrymen, listen to me, repent. It's not too late to accept the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 139 that even there, God's going to be there. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, sure, the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. The wrath. This is the wrath of the Lamb of God. We see in Isaiah chapter 13, even back to Isaiah's day, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, for he destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven, the constellations thereof, shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth. The moon shall not cause her light to shine. I will punish the world for their evil and their wicked for their iniquity. I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease. Listen out how accurate this is. It's amazing how accurate it is. And I will cause their arrogance of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make man more precious than fine gold, even a man with golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of its place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts. What does the Bible tell us in Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully. You say, judgment's a terrible thing. It is a terrible thing. But dear friend, the Bible says if we, and the writer of Hebrews is talking about us, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. What's he saying? If you've been warned over and over and over and over and over and over, there's a time when God, even in his patience and long-suffering, it's over. God right now is being long-suffering with us. He's being so patient with us as a country, as a people, as a world. He's being so kind and gracious. This is the age of grace, but there's coming a day where the grace will be over. And the wrath, his wrath will be poured out upon this earth. Oh, what a terrible day it is. And it's true in the Christian life, dear friend. That's why we as Christians ought to keep short sin accounts with God. Be clean. As the old song was saying, is nothing between my soul and my Savior. And I hope that's true of you today. Don't live a life of continual sin. Don't live a life of doing evil over and over and over and thinking God's just going to wink at it. Don't think, well, man, I'll just quote 1 John 1:9 and everything will be okay. Oh, yeah, God will forgive the sin, but there's always consequences. Dear friend, there are always consequences. Some of you right now are suffering the consequences of things you did 20, 30 years ago. You're struggling with it right now, and your family is. Dear friend, we ought to be humble and ask God for help. And when God, in his mercy, shows us areas where we struggle, beg him for forgiveness. Repent. The first words of John the Baptist was repent. The first words of Jesus Christ when he was preaching was repent. May we be a humble people. May we be a people who choose to repent of our sin and walk humbly before our God. Father God, I thank you for all you've done for us tonight. Lord, these terrible judgments are hard to even talk about. The immensity of it, the terribleness of it, the lives that will be utterly destroyed because of these events, Lord, are even past what we can imagine or fathom. We know these things are coming to pass. Oh, Lord, I pray that help us, Lord Jesus, to be right with you. I pray, God, we could say where we're sitting right now that there's nothing between us in you, nothing between us and another person, Lord. And if there is, oh God, I pray, Lord, before tonight is over, especially before the week is over, that we do everything by the grace of God, with your help and to get things right. Lord, give us, once we're right with you, Lord, help us, Lord, give us that fervor, Lord, to want to see other people saved and added to the kingdom, because we know without salvation, oh, millions upon millions of people will go into this terrible tribulation. Oh, Father, help us to understand the truth of these things. With head bowed and eyes closed, maybe someone in this room say, preacher, there's an area in my life that God has spoken to me about. Maybe something I didn't even talk about tonight. There's an area in your life that God has spoken to you about. Would you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? God has spoken to me about an area of my life that I need to change. God has spoken to me about something I need to do. Would you pray that God would give me the courage to do those things? Anybody at all tonight? God has spoken to me about an area of my life that I need to deal with. Anybody at all? Anybody at all tonight? Well, let's stand to our feet, take our hymn book. Let's sing just two verses this evening. That old beautiful hymn, number 156, is your all on the altar? Have you longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase? And have you earnestly, fervently prayed? I wonder today, has everything right between you and God? Have you laid everything on the altar? Let's sing the first and last stanzas this evening.